Well, it is Wednesday. It's not Tuesday. Normally, Tuesday is book pick day, but we were celebrating Judith Eng's brand new book, The Problem with Plastic. And so that moved us, book picks, to today, this Wednesday. So it is an absolute delight to welcome two wonderful booksellers, Rachel Person of Northshire Books in Saratoga Springs and Manchester Center, Vermont, and Joan Grenier of Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. They join us to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to store shelves, or they're already here, or they're coming soon, and it's going to make our holiday season even brighter and more beautiful. It is a pleasure to have you both here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's begin with you, Rachel, and start us off on this post-snow Wednesday.
So I am talking today about a few children's books before I get to the books for grown-ups, because this is the time of year where we have lots of aunts and uncles and grandparents and friends of young people coming in and saying, oh my God, what books for children do you have? So I'm going to start off with a delightful picture book called Warm All Over by Ghazala Bigdaloo. It is absolutely beautiful art, incredibly sweet. Bear is cold, and his friends are trying absolutely everything they can think of to help him warm up. That's really all it is, but the simple text and absolutely beautiful art are just delightful and heartwarming and perfect for the picture book age children in your life.
Warm All Over. That sounds good, especially on a day like today. All right. Joan.
Well, I'm going to start with a mystery. The Killing Stones by Anne Cleves. And this is a Washington Post Best Mystery of 2025. I must admit, I love Anne Cleves. I love the books. I love the TV series. I love Vera. This is Jimmy Perez, who was the Shetland series. He's now moved on to Orkney Islands. He has a partner, Willow, who's also works at, is kind of his boss, and they have a four-year-old. So it's nearly Christmas, kind of like today. And the storms are furiously hitting the Orkney Islands. And one of Jimmy's oldest friends, Archie Stout, goes missing on the small island of Westray, part of the Orkney Islands. And Jimmy managed to get there despite the inclement weather. And so begins another intriguing mystery by Anne Cleves. Westray is famous for Neolithic and Viking ruins and relics. And one of the famous stones is the murder weapon. There are several possible suspects and a few more murders. And Anne Cleves is just a pro at capturing the people and landscapes of the islands. As a reader, I am eager to visit the Shetland and now the Orkneys. There are quite a number of suspects, as always happens. And Anne Cleves keeps us guessing until the very end. And the murderer, I never would have suspected. So I hope she is working on a new mystery with Jimmy, Willow, and the kids. And we have a few signed copies of this book. I think they're still available, unless they got purchased yesterday.
Yes.
Anne Cleves, The Killing Stones.
The Killing Stones, yes. A Detective Jimmy Perez novel. Terrific stuff. Thank you, Joan. All right. Rachel.
So back to kids' books, the next one that I have to talk about is for beginning readers, so kids who are just starting off on their reading journey. It is called Cabin Head and Tree Head by Scott Campbell, ooh, and it is utterly ridiculous. It is a complete goof. Two friends, one of whom has a cabin on his head and the other of whom has a tree on his head, get up to hijinks and antics. This is an early reader graphic novel, so it's told in a combination of pictures and texts, so great for kids who, as I said, are just starting off on their reading journey. It made me laugh out loud more than once, which not every kid's book does. It is just a total goof of delight. And for kids who are sort of ready to graduate from the next thing after Elephant and Piggy, it is a great, great reading option.
So is the tree and the cabin, were they born with them on their heads, or?
I believe so.
Okay.
And right. Every character in this book has something on their head.
Okay.
So every character is named, you know, Potato Head or what, and they all, like, they're sort of like these weird drawn, they're not obviously realistic people, but they're sort of like humanoid, but then they have these strange things growing up out of their head. And a lot of the hijinks come from the things that are on these characters' head. It is so silly.
Sounds so much fun. Absolutely delightful. Cabin Head and Tree Head by Scott Campbell. All right, Joan, you're up.
I'm going to do a cookbook now. Alice Waters, a School Lunch Revolution, a cookbook. This is my fourth Alice Waters cookbook. And I have learned so much from her over the years about cooking nutritious food. As far as I can remember, it started with The Art of Simple Food. And my copy is falling apart. But still, there are so many recipes I haven't yet tried. Alice Waters started the edible schoolyard over 30 years ago and inspired a network of 6,500 similar programs around the world. This is a holistic approach to feeding students fresh local organic food bought from farmers who practice regenerative farming. The meals are cooked at the school. The food is no more nutritious and better for the climate. I think it is most important to put this cookbook in the hands of teens and younger adults to help them on the right path for preparing and eating healthy food. However, there are interesting recipes for the longtime cooks. Some of the recipes I plan to try are, and I can't believe I'm saying this, making pita bread from scratch and hummus from scratch, and also fried rice, which I've never made, using brown rice, ginger, and toasted sesame oil, and a variety of vegetables. This is a multi-generational cookbook for adults and children. Alice Waters is a leader in the Buy Local Organic Food movement. She has run Chez Panisse for 54 years in Berkeley, California. And I think it's just a great little cookbook.
A School Lunch Revolution, a cookbook by Alice Waters. Wonderful stuff. All right, Rachel.
So next up is, as I'm slowly aging up among children, a book that is what we call middle reader. So really for, say, fourth to seventh or eighth graders. It's called The Trouble with Heroes by Kate Messner, who's a wonderful author based in the Adirondacks. So, just outside of the listening area for WAMC. And this book is set in the Adirondacks and really a love letter to the wilderness that we find there. It's a novel in verse about Finn, a 13-year-old who is angry at the whole world with fairly good reason, who just before the novel has started has been caught in an act of vandalism. And as punishment, he has to climb every one of the 46 Adirondack high peaks in company of a slobbery dog named Seymour. And he also is trying to make up a overdue seventh grade poetry assignment. And so he writes about the experience in verse. And so the novel is his poems about this experience of climbing the high peaks with a dog. It's an incredibly beautiful book. It's an incredibly thoughtful book. It's really a great book about a character who has suffered a great deal, being healed by nature, told in a way that's incredibly appropriate for that tween and young teen audience.
Very good. And again, the author's name is
Kate Messner.
Kate Messner, and it's The Trouble with Heroes is the title of the book. Excellent. All right. And Joan, back to you.
Back to me. So the next book is by Chuck Collins. It's called Burned by Billionaires: How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. And Chuck came to our store a couple weeks ago, and I just found this book fascinating. There's a lot of statistics in it, but they're very thoughtful and very important. So he describes the evolution of the Second Gilded Age, which is what we're living in right now. And one of the things I learned with astonishment that between 1983 and 2024, the number of billionaires in the US increased from 15 to over 800. And during his visit, he said, well, it's over 900 now. And so he describes how we haven't been taxing the billionaires and how that impacts state and local taxes, where we have to pay more. and to cover people and to cover some of the social services we need. So, and he describes how this happened over the last 40 years. He has an interesting chapter on how the ultra rich trash the planet. And he has a charts about how many super yachts they have and how many private jets they have and what's the carbon footprint of all that. Why were 8 of the 15 nominees for Trump's cabinet billionaires? And we've never had this in our country. So I think this is a very important book for people to read. It's just a horrifying situation that's going to get worse if we don't do something about this. I want to just read a quick quote. The carbon emissions of billionaires alone cancels out the benefits of approximately 1 million wind turbines every year. It's just amazing. So tax the billionaires is really the answer, and he has a lot of ways to do that in the back of the book.
The name of the book is Chuck, is by Chuck. The book is by Chuck Collins. The name of the book is Burned by Billionaires: How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. I had to promote the event at Odyssey. We had Chuck on the show. He had a great interview. So if you want to hear him speak about the book, you can go to WAMC.org and look that up. But a fascinating subject and a real, very well done, and certainly makes the case. Rachel.
So the last of my books for kids and teens is for teenagers. It is The Best of All Worlds by Kenneth Opel. And it is a complete mind bend of a science fiction novel. Very fast paced. Xavier didn't want to go spend the weekend at the cottage on the lake with his dad and his very pregnant stepmother. But he agreed to go sort of reluctantly. And now they've woken up. The lake is gone. The road is gone, the cars are gone, their neighbors are gone, and they're trapped in a giant dome. And I really don't want to tell you much more than that, but it is a really fast-paced, satisfying science fiction novel that is also incredibly thought-provoking about what it means to be human, about survivalism and survival skills, and what it means to be a man. I just love this book.
Best of All Worlds by Kenneth Opel. All right. Joan.
Well, Ain't Nobody's Fool, The Life and Times of Dolly Parton by Martha Ackman. Martha's a retired Mount Holyoke professor and friend of the store and a great author. She's written several books. What an amazing life Dolly Parton has lived. Growing up dirt poor, I mean, really dirt poor, in eastern Tennessee's Smoky Mountains, and after many ups and downs, reaching stardom. Her parents married in 1939 on the banks of the Little Pigeon River. Her mom was 15, her dad was 17. They would raise 8 children. Dolly was born in 1946, their fourth child. Her father paid the doctor a sack of cornmeal for helping to bring Dolly into the world. Lee, her father, Lee Parton, would never learn to read or write. And unfortunately, he drank a lot. He did his best to provide for the family, and the family suffered domestic violence from Lee, which is not unusual in the mountains of Tennessee. Dolly grew up with many friends and family who were musical, like everybody either was a songwriter, a singer, a mandolin player, a guitar player, etc. But Dolly was determined. She knew from an early age she wanted to go to Nashville and become a star. She headed out of the mountains as soon as she graduated from high school. And Martha Ackman really deals with all the ups and downs for a young woman in the country music business. It's an amazing story. First in Knoxville and then in Nashville. At that point, men ran the country music industry. And Dolly had to break down the doors to sing what she wanted, including her songs. She's a prolific songwriter. She married Carl Dean, who she met at the Wishy-Washy Laundromat in May of 1967. They secretly married in Ringgold, Georgia, which is the Las Vegas wedding chapel of the South. Her manager didn't want her to marry, so they kept it secret for a while. Carl died in March of this year. They had been married for 60 years. So an amazing story there. She's known for her incredible generosity. I was particularly interested in her Imagination Library. She started it in 1995, sending free books once a month to children from birth until they start kindergarten. As of 2024, over 260 million books have been mailed to children. So this is a very enlightening book. Includes a lot of great information. She wasn't able to interview Dolly, but lots of people around Dolly and in other primary sources. And, you know, you read about 9 to 5 and Jane and, oh my God.
Oh, Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
And I have to watch that as soon as I can, because that was a great movie. And
very fun.
And also she has these beautiful harmonies with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris. We are launching this book on January 6th at 7 p.m. So please join us. I'm sure it will be fascinating and a fun time.
Ain't Nobody's Fool, The Life and Times of Dolly Parton by Martha Ackman. All right. Rachel, we get to the adult stuff now.
We do. And I'm going to start off with a cookbook just because I loved hearing Joan's cookbook recommendation so much. This is Chocolat by Alexandra Crapanzano. She is the author of another great baking cookbook that came out a few years ago, Gâteau. And she's sort of like this masterclass baking cookbook author. She shares these recipes that range from incredibly simple up through things that are really project cooking, but that have just incredible French baking results. And this new book is all chocolate. There's actually an entire chapter of hot chocolate recipes. So like if you have a chocoholic in your life, they will be in heaven with this book. I am in heaven with this book. There is some really, just a lot of recipes that are really worth the time and care that go into them. Incredibly beautiful. It's also just a beautiful book. It's illustrated. You know, a lot of cookbooks these days are photographs, and this has like these beautiful little watercolors. It's just a delight.
Gorgeous. Absolutely. It is Chocolat and now out. Joan.
Okay. Well, this is really my last book.
Yep.
We Survived the Night by Julian Brave Noisecat. This book is a deeply informative narrative that includes oral history about Native Americans in this country and First Peoples in Canada, family memoir, mythology, and Julian's reporting from various locations in Canada and the U.S. We Survived the Night refers to his father, who was found in an incinerator crying as a newborn. And this was in 1959 in a mission school in Canada. He was rescued by a janitor who heard his cries. This was one of the many mission schools known for their brutality. Children weren't allowed to speak their indigenous languages. Their hair was cut, and they were kept away from parents and family for years in a concerted effort to destroy their culture, their language, and have children assimilate into the white world. The personal aspects of the book are fascinating, as Julian describes how he worked at connecting with his native side. His mother is Irish, Jewish, and American. He returns to British Columbia to learn the, I'm not sure I can say this correctly, Salish or Salish language from the few remaining native speakers, including his aging family members. He becomes a powwow dancer and a reporter covering the struggle of Native people in Canada and the United States, including Northern Quebec, British Columbia, Oakland, California, Sitka, Alaska, and the newly elected to Congress Laguna Pueblo tribal member, Deb Haaland. She would go on to become the first ever Native American cabinet secretary. And of course, she's running for governor of New Mexico right now. Julian is also a co-director of the Academy Award-nominated documentary, Sugarcane, about his relationship with his father. I highly recommend Sugarcane and this book. There's maps and a family tree and photos, so it's a whole package.
We Survived the Night by Julian Brave Noisecat. All right. Rachel, I know you have a couple left, so let's go to those.
Okay, I can be quick. I know we're low on time, but also, Joan, several of my coworkers have been absolutely raving about We Survived the Night.
I think it's one of the best nonfiction books of the year.
Yeah, that is, I've been hearing that as well. So very quickly, a few novels we have, and these are all for adults. How to Dodge a Cannonball by Denard Dale is an incredibly sharp satire that skewers American myth-making. It follows Anders, a hapless teenage boy who's white, who accidentally joins a black regiment partway through the Civil War. It follows him through the New York City draft riots, out to the West, and the sort of conflict over silver in Nevada. It's a really, really smart skewering of the mythology we have around the Civil War and race. So that's How to Dodge a Cannonball by Denard Dale.
Terrific.
Next up is Liquid, A Love Story by Maryam Rahmani. This is a really feminist literary novel that takes the tropes and structure of a film rom-com or a romance novel and sort of turns them on their head. The narrator, who's actually never named in the book, is a burnt out Muslim grad student with no job to turn to as she's sort of losing her grad student funding. And so she sets out to go on 100 first dates and marry rich. But then her father becomes very ill and she has to go to Tehran to care for him, and that upends all of her plans. And it's just a very thoughtful, very feminist novel that's also very playful around those romantic comedy tropes.
Terrific. Liquid, A Love Story.
Yes. And then last, but definitely not least, is A Witch's Guide to Magical Innkeeping by Sangu Mandana. This is a romance novel or a fantasy novel or a little bit of both. It's very cozy and delightful. Sarah Swan is a witch who's been exiled from magical Britain because she used magic in the wrong way. But she has a little magical inn that she inherited that is a safe haven for a sort of wild found family that she has created. This book is very silly, it's very fun, and it's just a cozy, heartwarming delight for times when you might need one of those.
I know you have some events, and one we just talked to Amanda Vail for the event on this Wednesday night tonight to talk about the new book, but other stuff going on as well.
We are just winding down our event season for the year, but we do have in our Manchester store, Brad Kessler and Donna Ann McAdams speaking about A Woodcutter's Christmas on Saturday. So that will be our last event of 2025, but we're getting ready for a writer's retreat in Vermont in January, which is going to be a lot of fun.
I thank you both for being with us and for the wonderful suggestions and ideas and picks for today. For more information on Northshire Bookstore, you can go to their website, northshire.com. Odyssey Bookshop is odysseybks.com there in South Hadley, Massachusetts. You can see both lists and all of the lists from the past several weeks at wamc.org/bookpicks. wamc.org/bookpicks. Rachel and Joan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful holiday season, and thank you for being with us this morning. Be well.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks so much. For more information, you can find wamc.org/bookpicks. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.